This is week two, and I'm excited to share with you. Let me just, though, tell you about a couple things that are happening in our church, happening throughout the next several weeks, but going to culminate at Easter at New Walk weekend. It's coming now about 1 month, a little under a month away until we hit Easter weekend, and we are undertaking an initiative that I want to invite you into over the next several weeks to be a part of, kind of see what can happen in our church and in our community. Our initiative as we approach Easter weekend, there are two big numbers that we want to try to hit as a church. And so I'm going to invite you to help us make that become a reality, ultimately to see the kingdom of God grow, to see God's word go forth to as many people possible. And so Easter weekend, we are shooting for what we're calling our 10K 1K. All right, we're not jogging. We're not going to go jogging. Just want to make sure you know that. But 10K, we want to endeavor to see for the first time on an Easter weekend at our church between all of our worship experiences to see over 10,000 people come through the doors. And so, yeah, we're going for that. We fell just short of that by about 1,000 or so last year. We had more than 10,000 when you include online. I'm not talking about online. I'm talking about right here in person. So we're going to give that we're going to go make a run at that number. And the 1K, even bigger deal, we want to see on that weekend over 1,000 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I can tell at least 20, 30 of you are excited about that. But I want to invite all of you to kind of be excited about that and to join us on that journey of seeing that become a reality for our community as we approach a big weekend here at our church. I'll get into more of that in the coming weeks. I want to share with you also the times for Easter at New Walk. Maybe you're aware of them, maybe not. We'll keep bringing these back so you can check them out. We have 10 worship experiences over 4 days. And you'll be able to pick, you know, which one works best for your schedule. But I want to tell you that all 10 experiences are exactly the same inside the building. All right, so what happens in here, what happens in kids, it's all the same. The only variances in the 10 are what happens outside. There are, several years ago, we introduced a glow night egg hunt. And it was very popular. And then we added a second one last year. And both were very popular. So we said, well, we'll do a third one. So we're going to have Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night glow hunts. All the other 7 will have the helicopter. So when you're looking at the times and you're seeing 7 p.m., those evening ones, those last ones, those are the ones that will have the glow hunt. So again, just we're bringing people in to hear the message of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. And it's going to be a big weekend. You'll be thinking about which one you can attend, which one you can serve. You'll be doing that over the next couple of weeks. I'll always remind you as you're considering Easter that Sunday mornings will be the nuttiest here, like as far as attendance, maybe the people, but for sure the attendance, right? We're going to have a nutty bit of traffic going on here. And so it's going to, I think one of the Sunday morning ones last year, we had hundreds in the cafe, okay, and it was filled in here. So again, you're thinking about maybe not so much the Sunday morning times, if it's possible, unless, of course, you're bringing people with you, and that's when they want to come. All right, here's the text we're going to look at in our time together today. John 10:10, a young boy asked me a couple of weeks ago, I was about an hour after church, I was up here at the stage, he asked me, hey, Pastor Gary, what's some of your favorite scriptures? And I cited this one. This is one of my favorite scriptures, especially the second part of it. Here's what it said. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, all right, talking about our spiritual adversary, Satan. But then he says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the what? To the full, a max life, right? God wants to give us eternity. We want that. Of course, that's a part of the fullness of life. But there is a fullness that God wants to reveal to us while we're still drawing air in our lungs. And God wants us to discover that. It is in our DNA to want to crave what might could be more. We're talking about DNA. You have a wiring inside you to discover what fullness is. Now, the problem is, of course, you may be aware that if we don't turn to God, we'll try to find the fullness of life in other things. And that's what most of our culture is doing today. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, here's what it says. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever, than we could all ask or imagine. All right, we're talking about a God who can do way more to the fullest for your life. This is the kind of God that we serve. Then he said, okay, this is available, but there's sort of a condition. All right, Paul doesn't say it's conditional, but there's a condition when you really understand kind of the theology and understand how you're unlocking some of the fullness of life. It says this, it says in this next part, it happens according to his power that is at work within us. So the condition here is, hey, you want to discover fullness, you want to discover more in your life, it's going to happen, it's only going to happen according to the power of God that is at work within you and I. All right, so we establish that. We know that that's kind of how we access that. We're going to talk about some of the challenges with that. It goes on in the scriptures, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. There's a theology there, a life philosophy there that God is giving us through this text. This is an understanding that there is a power. Talked about this in the last series. There is a power that you and I must tap into, must access to know, get the strength from God, but also in this case, the power of God to know the fullness of life, all that we could ever want, ask for, imagine, that God wants to give that, reveal that to us. I have, for the first time in my life, got it about a year and a half ago, an electric car. All right, and some of you, anybody else have an electric car? I guess some of, not many, okay, all right. We got, it's offering these rebates and all this stuff, so we got one of these Teslas about a year and a half ago. And so I have a Tesla. Please don't burn my car, please. I've been seeing some of that. Please don't do that. But what I've noticed, the power, the car is technologically unbelievable. The things that it is capable of doing, it's wild. But I've noticed this, that if I don't plug it in, there could come a moment where it's all useless. It just doesn't work. And I know there's somebody going, yeah, I know, that's the problem with those electric cars. If you don't plug them in and they run out, you're in big trouble. If your car runs out of gas, you're in big trouble too, all right? But I've learned that the electric car, this is the deal. So I got to plug it in. I got to give it the juice, get the power so that it can operate in the fullness. So God says, you and I, hey, there is a fullness that I have to offer you, but you got to plug into it. You got to connect into that power. I put this in your notes. It's in your DNA to discover the fullest that God has to offer in life. But this is a sad part. Very few have it. Obviously, if you're here today and you're an unbeliever, you don't have access to any of this. All right? As far as in your current state, God wants you to he gave his one and only son so that you'd have access to it. But you don't currently. Those of you who are believers in Christ, you have access to it. Sadly, there are many believers in Christ who are not accessing this fullness of life either. And they're just kind of resting on a decision or a moment, but they're not elevating and growing to discover this fullness of life. And so God says, hey, in my power, in my presence, in my connecting with you more richly and deeply, you're going to discover this fullness that I have to reveal. And until you discover that, you are going to live a life of deep frustration. You're going to live a life of deep divine dissatisfaction. Because you were made to know the fullness of God. You were made for that. It's wired in you, but you're choosing the wrong avenues to go after that fullness of life. We see this play out. We talk about it here at our church. Power, possessions, and pleasures. These become the things that we go after to find the fullness of life. They always leave us empty. We talk about, I'm going to get the next car. That'll give me the fullness of life. I'm going to get the next house. I'm going to get the next thing. We have next marriage, next girl, whatever. We're going to go from the next hit of whatever it may be. And the lows that we experience are always lower each time. And we never find the fullness of life. And that is a frustrating way to live. But you weren't made to live like that. You are made to discover that fullness that God has always wanted to reveal to you. And so what we see in our culture you today is people opening this drawer to find answers, and I open this drawer. Maybe the fullness, I'll watch 10 more podcasts and 5 more self-help books. Maybe that'll give me the fullness of God. Maybe that's the answer. Oh, I know the answer. Here's what we're going to do. We need to move to a new place, and that will give us the fullness of life. And so we pick up our family and move. There's only one problem when you pick up your family and move to another place. You're still taking you. And if you aren't discovering the fullness of God, it won't be there. It won't be at the next place. And so we got to know that that fullness is a big part that God has to say, okay, we're going to stop my searching, and I'm going to go to God encountering you. God wants you to discover the fullness for your life, for your marriage, for your relationships, for parenting. We've said over the years at our church that this does start with your thinking. And, well, I didn't come up with that. It's the scriptures. You know, we know that as you think, right? What's the Bible say? As a man thinks, so he is. We know it starts with your thinking. That's why we have to have what the Bible says in Romans, a renewing of our mind so that we can think differently about life. Okay? And then we talk here at our church as our thinking then affects what we do, our doing. And then our doing affects what we're becoming in life. Right? Your thinking determines your outcomes. And so this has to start with our thinking. You have to have this renewing of your mind that says, the way that I think about the fullness of life starts and ends with God. Isaiah 55, very famous scripture. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. The heavens are higher, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. I have this bigger way of thinking and operating, and so I want you to plug into that. And as you plug into that bigger way of thinking and living, that is going to expand. That's going to bring you into a full way of living. This is applying to your life in that plug-in all the things that God has to reveal to you. It is a connection in our thinking, and our thinking in our minds and in our hearts. When that road, when those dots are connected, starts to produce those outcomes. Here's what I mean. I meet many Christians, many Christians, well-intentioned. It is in my heart, I don't want to live different. I want to be different. I want different outcomes in my life. And they want it in their heart. But they're not getting into their mind God's word. And then ultimately God's word into their heart. So they feel it and they want it and they crave it. I want something more in my life, right? But they don't read God's word. They don't know his precepts for their life. They're not studying God's word. And so they're just like, I know kind of what my heart wants. And then there are other Christians, and we see this as well. It's kind of like not in their heart, you know, necessarily, or we call them, they might say they're Christians. I don't know what we say, but we say, okay, like I've got head knowledge, but it's not like driven into my heart. But once those two things connect, right, you now setting forth on a way of living in life that really then it's your thinking, your doing, and then your becoming. And so we're going to spend some time talking about, you know, how we can think different about this fullness of life. And I put this in your notes if you want to write this down. Remember this, we've got to decide that we don't want to settle. I don't want to settle for small-minded thinking. I don't want to stop short of this fullness of God. I don't want to miss it. I'm not going to settle in this one sort of comfort way of living. I want to go beyond what it is that I kind of know right now. And this is hard to kind of push away from the known and to go into the unknown. But this is faith. And in faith is how we discover more fullness. So we have to at some point decide we want to advance on to whatever God is revealing next in our lives. This famous quote here, 20 years from now, I think we'll put it up on the screen too. 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you don't do than the ones you did. So throw off the bow line, sail away from safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, and discover. A lot of people think Mark Twain came up with that. He did not. It's was in a book called P.S. I Love You. The author shared that and said, actually, I got that from my mom, who would say some variation of those things in his own life. And so this reminder, though, that says, this is where, you know, I'm going to experience more of life by going out farther. I'm going to discover the fullness that God wants to reveal. When I was in my late 20s, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm 32 now, and so it's like, it's been 25-ish years that this happened. I can remember when I said yes to Jesus Christ, and God was radically transforming me. I can remember God's working on my way of thinking, and during that time in my life, saying, okay, over the next 25 years, like, I'm going to start thinking about where I want to be, and in 50 years, where I want to be, Lord willing. And so I just say, okay, I want to make sure that I know those things, those goals, those dreams and those visions. And I had an old way of thinking and it was so small-minded. But now in the expansion of God, I said, oh my goodness, God, what is it now that you might could reveal to me in my life? And I started thinking, okay, 25 years from now, where do I want to be in my family? Where do I want to be in my marriage? Where do I want to be in my walk with God? This comes from God-given dreams and God-given visions. And so then I'm going to think that way, and I'm going to start doing so that I can become 25 years later what it is I believe God was putting on my heart. And I stand through the grace of God here today as a part of living out for 25 years those dreams and those visions. The problem is most people can't even write those things down or recite them. They can't articulate where they want to be in 25 years with God. And so it's hard, I think, to sometimes work through our thinking when we're not even thinking about these things. And we've made, you know, some highs and lows. There's been some things all along the way. But generally, in my calling, I believe what God wired in my heart for my marriage, for my children, like, these things are playing out that were set forth in motion all those years ago. Job 34:4, let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let's learn together what's good. Let's learn what's right and what God is putting on our heart, uniquely designed for me in my life. You are uniquely wired, and you need to be able to discern and know what those things are that God wants you to do in your life. We have some similarities about what God's calling us all to do. We have similarities about what God's calling us as men to do and as women to do in life, you know. So, but there are unique things that God reveals to you about you. And so I'm going to make sure that I know those things. I'm going to connect with those things. I'm going to start thinking in those things. And I'm not going to settle for kind of the average of the status quo. The Bible says that young men will dream dreams and old men will have visions. When you're young, you dream. That's what we do when we're young. We have these dreams for life. This is what I'm going to be when I grow up. You hear all these beautiful things that people share when they're young. It's beautiful when young people are dreaming dreams. But as you get older, those dreams turn into vision. And as you get older, you start painting on canvas your life, the vision that God revealed to you. You take it from vision and you put it down. People look back on your life, they see that painted canvas of what it is that you accomplished with God in your life. It starts with dreams. I think when we're young, we have dreams, and they get shattered pretty quick. It can, anyways. You know, you start going through enough trials and difficulties, reality sets in life, and you start to lose sight of your dreams. And that happens. I think there's probably some people here at this kind of your story. You're long gone from your early childhood dreams that God can. Then he did it for me. My late 20s, he said, hey, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you new dreams and I'm going to give you new visions and you're going to start new and we're going to advance on from this point on. And he can do that for any of us here in this room. But I want to share with you this scripture in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, our, that's plural, that's the Trinity, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, talking about humanity, the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the earth. Another word for this is that we'll hear they have dominion. God is wiring you to discover dominion in your life. God wants to give you a territory of dominion. And you're large and in charge, and God's wiring you for this dominion in your life. And so this is what, I'm learning that. I'm thinking about that. He's blessing me to be fruitful. He's blessing me to multiply. He's blessing me to take dominion. And so I want to know, I want to think about those things. I want to know what they are. The Bible tells us that God wants to give us much more we could ever think, ask, or imagine. But David reminds you and I that in Proverbs 4:23, that you better guard your heart because from your heart flows everything. Man, our hearts can get damaged. Sin can damage our hearts and dreams, difficulties, brokenness in life. And so if God does give you a way of thinking or a dream, you had better protect it. You had better guard it with everything you have. You better guard your heart, make sure the people around you, your influences are being dealt with. But once we get that dream and that vision, we set out to start exploring more that God wants to reveal. We have to take, I mentioned this, those faith steps. I was researching some things about our own planet. 95% of Antarctica, coldest place on earth, is unexplored. It's just hard to, it's all, they believe there's treasure trove under all that tundra of things that maybe we don't know, but 95% of it is unexplored. The conditions are too difficult, so we just kind of leave it alone. Greenland, the largest island in the world, remains largely unexplored. The Mariana Trench, in all of its depth, it's some depths that's just too dangerous. It feels just impossible to explore, and so we only know a small amount of everything that the Mariana Trench and its secrets have to reveal. There's the largest unclimbed mountain in the world. I don't know if I'll say it right, but it's in my notes here. It's the Gangkhar Puensum. And this is the largest unexplored mountaintop. And we've had multiple explorations and they don't make it. They stop short. The conditions are too messy. And so we just kind of leave it the way it is. Deserts, 61 deserts in the world. And many people believe there are things under those deserts and caves and formed and rocks and things like that. But the dry, uninhabitable conditions of deserts sometimes make it hard for us to explore. And so these things are left unexplored. The Amazon, an unimaginable 2 million square miles of area. We've learned there are 500 animal species, 40,000 plant species, 3,000 freshwater species, and 370 reptile species. They can keep every one of those. And yet, with all of that, they tell us that we've only explored just really a little bit of what may be existing in the Amazon. And so my point is that in the natural, that's the way it is on our planet. By the way, in the supernatural, sometimes that's the way we are in our walk with God. We've only explored just a little of what he wants to reveal to us. Life in the fullest, but I'm not getting that fullness because, again, I'm not thinking about plugging in and in taking those steps and encountering more. Most of those things on earth that have not been explored are unexplored out of fear. They're unexplored out of difficult conditions. Let me ask you, what difficult conditions do you believe are getting in the way of you exploring more with God? You're bringing those to the feet of Jesus. Fears, failures, anxieties, the comfort zones. You're bringing them to Jesus and saying, hey, you know what? I want to move beyond where I've ever been. That word familiar, what's familiar to me, we got to move beyond what's familiar. I talked about that earlier. We got to go set out into the unfamiliar. The word familiar in its etymology, word root, comes from the word family. Familiar and family. I think for some of us, when we think about things that maybe have affected our dreams, affected our thinking, and ultimately our outcomes, I think it comes back to what's familiar. I think it comes back to family. Sometimes what we learn in our family doesn't set us up for healthy thinking. And so we have these unhealthy outcomes born out of our family. I'm talking about our family of origin. Many decades ago, I would have never really had any reason to talk about this. But more and more, to a majority percentage now, people that I talk to here in our congregation, this is the situation where the things they got from their family were not favorable for their outcomes in life. And I see that playing out more and more. The family familiarity, for some of you, your family's settled. That was the fill-in, settled. For some of you, they settled. They settled for less than God. They settled for their idols. They settled for comfort zones. And they settled for other things in life. And they never advanced. And so for you to even think about it, I'm talking about the fullness of life right now. And there are some of you going, what? And I get it, and I understand that that's real, and I'm not sharing this about our family to be mad at our family, to pick on our family, the people we grew up with, not at all. Sometimes they didn't know what they didn't know. But now you do, and so you're wanting more, and so you're going to have to deal with some of the family situations that come with that. By the way, we have learned study after study more and more today. Families in faith-based homes, I'm talking about where they God, they worship Jesus, where they know God's word together, they're praying together, they're doing these things, faith-based homes where the marriage is laser-focused, the family, the kids are close, we're close families with good incomes, they'll tell us with good incomes, these families are the tightest and strongest there are. And so they're talking about some of the successes they're finding in healthy families. We see these studies all the time. You heard me say also with healthier incomes. And there's somebody here going, yeah, of course, if you got a healthier income, you can have all those things good. No, don't hear that. It's never about your income. It's what you're doing along the way while you're incoming. It's how you're handling your family. It's how you're handling your marriage. It's how you're handling your walk with God. And these things oftentimes determine things about incomes and debts and all that other stuff as well. And so we're just understanding that, hey, in healthy family cultures, these things are happening. But I also know it's not happened for some of you. And so it affects your thinking and it affects your doing and it affects your becoming. And I start talking about setting out into something next. And it's hard for you to grasp that because of what you learned growing up. But we know this. If you're going to advance on in anything in life, you are going to have to go to what's next. How many of you know that if you want to advance in your career, you're going to have to take a step forward, sometimes a big step, to encounter more in your career? Is that true? Okay, a few of you know that. Income-wise, how many of you know to get a greater income, like you're going to have to take bigger steps? How many of you know, of course, if you're going to grow in your marriage, you're going to have to start doing some things you never did before? All right, so if you're going to grow in your walk with God, you're going to have to take some steps, do some things that you've never done before. You're going to hone in on the gifts that God has given you. You're going to hone in on the way that you think about the gifts and the talents and things he's given you in your life, and you're going to put them to work in your life and develop growth along the way, starting with your thinking. This is about establishing disciplines. Disciplines in the way that you think. You know, there's if I say that we were gifted by talents, right? What you do with your gifts in life, you take your gifts, you turn them into talents. You take your talents and you turn them into skill. You take your skill and you get competent. You develop competency in your skill. Then you get your competency and you turn it into mastery. You start developing disciplines in your life spiritually that allow you to have mastery in continuing to grow. Mastery, like in other words, you're doing disciplines in spiritual life that are so great that you put yourself in this position to continue to have the fullness of God. A mastery over skills and gifts and talents that God has given you to where putting them into action is as simple as like drinking water. You just keep on moving. These disciplines have got to be in place. And when they're in place, God can then open up more of heaven's blessings. This is what God's word reminds us. Like there are disciplines that have got to be in place to encounter more of God. Discipline is where we get the word disciple. Disciple and discipline. The beginning of God's promises, though, we see promises of God to change our outcomes. We see this going all the way back in the scriptures. We go back to Genesis and we see this moment. I talked about family earlier, and I want to just let you see when we consider about settling. Let's go back now. Some of you know the story about Abraham and how Abraham was called by God to leave what he had known and to go into the unknown. God wanted him to pick up everything and go to Canaan. We also know Canaan as, anybody want to shout it out, as the what? The promised land. Okay, four of you. That's great. the promised land. All right, so hey, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of many nations. We're going to pick up from here. You're going to head to Canaan. You're going to go to the promised land. You may know that. You may not know, maybe you do, that prior to Abraham, God challenged his father, Terah, with the very same thing. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 11 and 31. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of Abraham, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans, and they went to Canaan, where they came to, on their way, they came to Haran, and they settled there. Terah lived there 205 years and died there in Haran. So God called Abraham's father Terah to go to the promised land, and on his way, they stopped, and let's go back to what it said there. It says they settled. Do you see that? That's the fill-in. They settled, and they lived out their life from there. That's a recognition that God called this man out, but it's so easy to stop short. It's so easy to settle. And I mentioned before, there are all kinds of influences that could keep you and I in settling mode. And I know that's real. Let me tell you another thing. You're here today and you're single. Let me give you just another influence that can affect your outcomes. If you're here today and you're single, you need to know the person that you marry has great influence on those promises that God wants to reveal for your life. Those of you that are married, some of you know this very real. Don't look sideways, just look straight at me. The person you marry affects those promises. The two are one flesh. And because the two are one flesh, like, this thing all affects things. And so it's very important the person that you marry understands the promises that God is revealing to you, vision, you know, things like for your life, dreams, so that we're moving together kind of in the same direction. We think about Terah, though. We see this father of Abraham now settling. There is something also revealing about Terah in the scriptures. You can find out more about him if you sneak over to Joshua 24 and 2. Here's what it says. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River. But look what they did. They worshiped other gods." Abraham's father stopped short, and we could see probably one of the reasons why he stopped short is because they worship false gods. And that, again, you will settle in life when you worship the wrong gods, the false gods. And so as I move to the next point, I just put this little sub point in your notes. You've got to decide not to settle, and one of the ways you got to overcome is the last generation's thinking. What the last generation thought, what you learned from them. You got to deal with that paradigm. Look, I had great, wonderful parents. I think they're probably watching right now online. I have wonderful parents. But even with that, they want more for me than they had. Any good parent wants that. They want more for their kids. They want more for their future. They want that for me. But again, if you didn't come even from a healthy household, then that's hard for you because you can be caught in the paradigm of your old way of living. And so I put this in your notes. Remember this, live outside. What is our doing going to be? We're going to live outside of Haran. We're going to go beyond Haran and get to the place that God ultimately wants us to go. I mentioned before that Abraham did go. God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. There's going to be a legacy built on your decision-making. You're going to have to leave the old paradigms, Abraham. Your father stopped short. You're going to have to decide you don't want to settle, but if you will trust me and go, there will be promises that will be delivered. And so Abraham, having to push past settling, he said, got to make a decision. Hey, I don't want to settle. I want to discover more. All right? It's to us today. As a father, I don't want to settle. As a husband, I don't want to settle. In my walk with God, I don't want to settle, so I got to push past the known into the unknown. Genesis 12:4 talks about Abraham. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. He's going to head out. He's going to head to Canaan. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. You're never too old. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, the people that they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and look what it says, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. I'm going to give you this land. Look, your father didn't go get it. But you decided to push past all the noise and all the paradigms and to go to where I called you to go. See, this is going to be the challenge for a lot of you, because you are wanting to figure out how you can pay the price for experiencing God that your family didn't pay. And that's going to be, in those unknowns, that's going to seem kind of weird. It's going to be weird to them, the price you're willing to pay. It's going to be difficult for you. But in order to go past those paradigms, there are prices that you will have to pay to get to whatever may be next. We can't be distracted. We continue in our disciplines. Those disciplines are critical. And so our thinking is affecting our doing. And now we're going to do beyond where everybody else went, so I can have the fullness of God. So I put in my notes, okay, we're not going to settle. That's the first thing I gave you. We're going to go, we're going to decide in our disciplines. We're going to go outside of Haran. And then here's the third thing in your notes. Remember to embrace the fullness of your Canaan becoming. As you start to experience more of God, you experience blessings. And one of the ways that we walk well within the blessings of God and what we're becoming is we take those blessings and we utilize those blessings to bring glory to God and to help others. God is not up here trying to bless you so that you can sit on all of it. God has a plan. He has a design. He has a purpose for it. Yes, he wants to enhance your life to the fullest, but what he wants is for you to bring glory to God with that, and to help others along the way. When God gave Abram the promised land, it wasn't, you know, just all about Abraham. At the end of the day, it was about God getting the glory, and it was about others that would come along the way. And when I'm understanding kind of real blessings of God, I'm pouring, like God's utilizing me as a vessel to then impact and help the people around me. It's clear in Mark 8:35, only those who give their lives, what a way, for my sake, for the sake of the good news, will ever know what it really means to live. You will never know the fullness of God and what that does in your heart to be blessed by God and then take those blessings to bring glory to God and then see the kingdom of God grow because you're helping others along the way. That is what we call significance in life. People love to talk about success, but there's a word that implies greater than success. It's called significance. It's called legacy. When you live in that realm, you are living in a way in which you know what the fullness of God really is. But it is hard. It is difficult. Tough times come, and there's deflating moments. There's difficult moments. There's tired moments. It feels like your things are being destroyed around you. And yet, you know how the people that experience the blessings of God survive all of that? They just stay in their disciplines. They stay consistent. You know why people don't experience the fullness of God in their life? It's because they're too inconsistent. And when the going gets tough, they get going. They run. And they don't stay in the game. You know, I've got here at our church something I've been going through for about 5 years, and it has flat worn me out. And it's like, okay, there's a dream, there's a vision, there's a promise. Late 2019, we said, you know what we're going to do? There's a dream, there's a vision. We're going to expand our worship center because God is putting people in this community. We need to be ready to grow. Whatever God is doing in our community, we got to be ready for it. And so we did that in late 2019, and then COVID. And if you know the story, I've shared this before, our church went down 2/3 in size. They're just gone. So we had to regrow. We could build a building, but there ain't nobody here to, like, okay. So we got to reap. So we go through this journey. It takes a while for COVID to kind of lift, and people start coming back, and more people start coming back. And to the glory of God, by the way, last year we started surpassing our 2019 numbers. And so, yeah, it's pretty great. But where's this freaking building? We keep thinking, okay, we keep working this thing. We're still trying, okay, we need help. And then along the way, we're dealing with people. How many of you know if you didn't have to deal with people, sometimes everything would be better? Yeah, but we got to deal with people. I'm talking about the engineers and the architects and all that other stuff that we got to do along the way. But finally, to the glory of God, now finally, the drawings have been finished. And I think we have the drawings here. And thank you. Thank you. The drawings are done. Yay, yay, okay. And then the last two weeks, we have four permits to submit. And once we submit the permits, the ball is rolling. And two of the first four permits were submitted in the last 2 weeks. And so praise God for that. But I'm going to tell you, along the way, if you look at my dream and you look at my vision and you look at what I believe God's promised us, you might look at it right now and go, bro, it looks pretty dilapidated. Like, where is it? Where is it? It seems delayed. It seems broken. It seems messy. Yeah, that happens sometimes, but the promise is still real. And so I'm just keep the disciplines. I'm going to keep going, and God's going to do it, and he's going to reveal it, and we're going to take the land, and we're going to go to Canaan. We're going to experience the promise because I know God's going to do it. Here's the thing. When he does it, it will be for his glory, and it will be to help others come to know Jesus Christ. That is how you're becoming. And that's a story of a microcosm of how God has us to live in our life. And so my last word to you is this: don't settle. God's got a promise. He's got a dream for you. Take dominion of the things that he's revealing for you in your life. Don't let the enemy of your soul destroy you and discourage you. Don't stop moving forward. Keep moving ahead. You have a God that is on your side. He is for you, and he wants you to grow into life in the fullest. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. You're revealing things about dreams and visions now to people in this audience who I believe want the fullness of life. Maybe you're just restirring some things in our heart from a long time ago. Never too old, never too late. Let God reveal more fullness. God, you're doing that right now amongst people who are believers. There's unbelievers that are in this room right now. There are many, many people that are here. They're not believers in Jesus Christ, and we're so glad you're here. And this is, we love that you're here. And the reality is you have opened every single drawer in life to find excitement, fulfillment, fun, highs. And you know in the recess of your soul that it has left you empty. And that's because you weren't wired in your DNA for those things. You were wired for God. To worship your Creator, to serve your Creator, to love your Creator. Lay download the power in your life for the fullness of God. And maybe you don't have that, and it seems so foreign what I'm talking about. But you can do what I did 25 years ago, sitting in the back of a little church in a pew. I said, enough is enough. Tired of pulling out all these drawers and levers. God, I want the fullness of life. And I was reminded in that moment that I can't have any of that until I've been forgiven first. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And I received that forgiveness that day, that moment. God, I offer up to you my sin. Times where there was no guarding of my heart. God, wash me, cleanse me. You can do that right now. Just God, forgive me. I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be forgiven through the gift of Jesus today. I surrender to you, God. I'm ready to learn the fullness of God starting today. In Jesus' name, amen.